Gentlemen, gamers, family, and friends, we come to you with a heavy heart. This is our first time recording Overheard at Kelly's in the absence of our origin of this league and the origin of a lot of our friendship as well. The closing of Kelly's Corner Pub in New Brunswick, New Jersey, which is no longer with us. The namesake of our league. Before discussing anything football related, we thought it'd be fitting to have a moment of silence. 8 seconds for 8 years of this league. Thank you. Evan, any thoughts?
You know, the expression end of an era is thrown around a lot, especially in today's society. But not many times does it really evoke those kind of emotions to truly see the end of an era. And I think undoubtedly Kelly's was an era for all of us in this league, not just personally, but professionally, socially, spiritually. And its presence will be missed, but its presence will also live on in this league and in all of us. So with a heavy heart, but with a clear heart, we say goodbye to the bar, but not to the legacy.
Extremely well said. And just thinking about some of those memories, what comes to mind to you, Evan, when you think back of Kelly's and what it brought to us?
Oh my gosh. Well, where to begin? I think one of the nights that really sticks out to me is one where we actually do have photographic proof. I think we were playing baseball with that guy that was, he was basically like, he was built like a 2x4, but like turned on its side.
The darts guy.
Yeah. And he was just teaching us the way of the dartboard. And I think he was there by himself because he didn't seem to talk to anybody else other than us. And that was a pivotal moment. I think that was one of the first times that we had really embraced the dartboard as the reason for going out. And I will say that I know Queens had a dartboard and I know Nightclub had a dartboard. I don't think any of them really came close to the magic of the Kelly's dartboard. I think there was something a little bit grittier about that one and a little bit more, I don't know how you, natural. It felt natural to have a dartboard there. And that was always fun.
I agree. I feel like at Queens, it was almost just you throw it in on the side. If you're waiting for a drink, you might throw one or two. But at Kelly's, it was almost part of the show.
Yeah.
If you were throwing some darts.
And Nightclub, it was very off to the side. It was like almost like it had like a little alleyway going down. So if you were playing darts, you weren't talking to anybody else. Versus at Kelly's, the dartboard would kind of be just like what you said. It would be a little bit more of the center of attention. And I'm trying to think. I don't know. What about for you? I mean, for you, obviously, I would say the punishment day had to rank up there in terms of experiences at Kelly's.
I mean, that day was obviously it was long, but it was a true memory I'll carry with me forever. I think just having the visitors throughout the day was amazing. Different cast of characters each hour it felt like, but then you and Jack were there throughout. It's a special day. Defeated it, came out on top, served the punishment, and it was a great memory.
Did they let you ring the bell?
They did not let me ring the bell, but it was an interesting, I mean, walking in early in the morning was hilarious because it was already packed. I was running like a few minutes late, so I didn't truly get there when it opened, but I don't know if it was a game day or something else, but it was already packed, and there was only one seat left, and it was where the bouncer is supposed to sit up front. So I literally was just sitting there by myself with, like, no counter or anything, and I just walked up to the bartender right away and just told him, I'm going to be here all day. Like, I got out of the way just to make it not awkward. Said, I lost my league. This is what I'm going to be doing, and he absolutely loved it. Ended up being a very, very fun time.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things that you have to be the one to – bring forth that information right from the get-go. Like, you don't want to be there for 3 hours and then the speculation starts rising and then you say, oh, I'm here because of my fantasy football league. I think you handled that in pretty much the best way possible, and I think your strategy that day was also well thought out and well executed, going with the Guinness and the water every hour.
Guinness per hour. It served, served you well.
I think that was a really good idea. I mean, it was honestly, that was a fun day. I was there obviously to support you, but then at one point it just became like, it was fun. So I didn't want to leave.
It was, that was a great day.
And we did see Kelly's through some changes. I mean, I think the Kelly's that I remember is the one without the bathroom door. I think that is to me what Kelly's was, kind of what it stood for. Just, you know, get in, get out. You don't need any frills.
Yep.
And also, when you try to explain Kelly's to people, like, people will say, like, what bar did you guys like the most, or what bar did you go to? A lot of, at Rutgers or the bars like there. And I try to explain Kelly's to them, like dollar hamburgers with chips, and like you could go there and spend a few hours and you would leave with a $9 bill. And people look at me like that's not something desirable. But like we said, you just have to be there to experience the magic of it. And unfortunately, and my heart goes out to all the Rutgers students and alumni who won't get to experience that and who will have never gotten to experience that. So it is a sad day.
It's a sad day. It's honestly like, and I haven't been to Augusta, but I feel like you can't really describe the magic of a place like Kelly's unless you've truly been there to experience it. One of a kind.
Yeah, and because I think, you know, so many schools that have big football programs or, you know, big sports programs or just bigger schools, they always have those bars that it's like, this was the game day tradition, or this bar was like crucial to the game day tradition. And I don't know for how many people Kelly's was crucial to, or how many people would go there, but I think it goes to show, even the day that you do your punishment, I mean, that was during COVID. And I think there was a game that day. Was that the Maryland game?
Yeah. I think we played Maryland. Yep.
Yeah. When, Fadrill got his like ankle twisted, by that guy on, I think the lineman on Maryland.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, even that, like in the middle of the pandemic, and you're saying it was still packed on a game day in the morning. I mean, there's not really a bar like that at Rutgers where it was like students and locals and townies and everybody kind of just coexisted and was happy, because I feel like all the other bars there was like either it was specifically just a locals townies bar or it was a student bar, and there wasn't really one that combine the two in a cohesive way. But Kelly's managed to do that, so we'll see what happens to that space.
One of my most lasting memories of Kelly's are our senior year. I feel like we started to really embrace it towards the end there, just going in, like strolling in for a burger between class or just for a quick bite to eat for lunch. Just nothing crazy, just casual, like sort of embracing it before we turn the page and move on with life. And I remember one day I was looking to grab a quick bite, and I texted a friend, Matt Morin. I was just looking for a quick place to eat, quick little bite, texted Matt, and he just responded back, "Who else is going?" And then that's one of my key core Kelly's memories, for better or worse.
I mean, I think that is one of the formative memories. I'll definitely never forget where I was when that text was sent. I was sitting in the on the third floor of 96, and I think everybody was shook to its core, because at that point we had been living together for a while. You know, you think these relationships are set in stone, but unfortunately, I guess anything could be eroded. Did we end up going to Kelly's that day? When it was all said and done, when the dust had settled,
I think we did end up going. I can't recall if Morin did join or not.
He was very pissy about it.
Yeah, he didn't like the trolling, but
no, I mean, he didn't.
That's what happens.
Well, yeah, everybody's got to catch their licks. So,
and now I don't know if everyone in the league has heard, but we have three members of 96 Huntington now under the same roof. Morin moved his stuff into our apartment here in Jersey City over the weekend, welcoming in as a third roommate of the four here in the Heights. And we're proud to be representing the Hudson County flagship of 96 Huntington.
Wow, 30% of 96 Huntington is currently in that house.
It's remarkable.
Yeah. How has the adjustment been with the four of you? Has he been sleeping there?
He has not slept here yet, but his bed is upstairs in the Chamber of Secrets, fitting quite snug. And he'll be here for a few months, and it'll be a great experience to have the brothers underneath one roof once again.
Yeah, that's I'm jealous, but happy for you guys, and I'm sure Sarah will also be a critical member of that convoy that you guys have in Jersey City right now.
Correct. So we need someone to keep us in check, and she'll have to do that.
Yeah, you always need kind of like a straight man, somebody with a good head on their shoulders, and God knows that's not going to be Jack or Morin. So.
Not me. Ain't me. we can move into, now that we've, I think, in a nice way, recognized Kelly's and what it's done for us and what it will continue to do for us moving forward and in the memory of this league and what it represents. So we're forever indebted to that little establishment in New Brunswick, and we look to keep its legacy alive moving forward.
You know what would have been cool is if we had done a like a Viking funeral for Kelly's. Like, you know, have you ever seen I think they do this. Maybe it's not just Vikings, but they push the boat into the water, and then somebody shoots an arrow at it, like that's on fire, and then it bursts into flames and the boat goes down the like if we had taken we should have bought like one last $1 hot dog or $1 burger. And then put that like in the middle of a little like one of those like little model sailboats, and then let it go down the Raritan on fire.
Oh my God,
that would have been amazing. I feel like I would have felt a little bit better about the situation had we done that. But unfortunately, we were lucky to get the U.S. National Guard to fire off that 8-gun salute, and the beautiful bagpipes.
Played
by somebody that I'm sure would have loved Kelly's. So,
well, there is, hypothetically speaking, there's one piece of history that remains of Kelly's to this day on Morrell Avenue, and it is the Kelly sign. It's still up for grabs. So,
is it actually up for grabs?
It's just out there.
Imagine we stole it. What do you think we would what is that? What was that held up by? Oh, you know what? I could check because I could look at the.
It's screwed into a backlit or interior lit sign on both sides, so there's technically two Kelly's, like not LEDs, but what am I? It's like a static sign that is just lit up from inside. It's like two physical signs that are basically not up for grabs, but they're kind of hanging out there in the balance.
I mean, you know what? Who's to say?
Not us. It wouldn't be us.
Yeah.
If anyone else is listening, but if it were to go missing, whoever does take it, it's kind of a smart idea.
Yeah, and at this point, I would say it's probably up for grabs. I think that's kind of a social contract where if you close the bar and then leave the sign out for X amount of days, eventually it just becomes public domain.
I mean, a grand heist could be well possible. Not by us, of course, but
there's copyright laws that allow that. So I don't know. Well, like you said, I mean, if anybody's listening, who knows what's going to happen to it? But
yeah, something to monitor.
Yeah, so definitely something to think about. But also something to think about is giving way to all this sadness and pain is another season of the Kelly's Corner conglomerate. And another season of fantasy football.
It's a great segue. And I think one of the best things about the league that we've come to love is the shticks that come from just the group chat every year. I think we've had some great ones. Evan and I were catching up before hopping on the call today, and just we're talking about the origin of just the Joker's trick in Chicago when Jake started sending us tweets on the trip just randomly throughout the day. Then we would just
the bats,
the disco stick. then we'd all change our name, and Jake went from Joker to Mr. Nightmare, sending just the teddy bear and the knife. 2 a.m. We've seen Chris Goddrup go from Ghost of Danny to needing momentum. To now playing in Danny's memory once again.
Yeah, to now maybe just is Danny.
And we can elaborate on that. That's a little bit of a working theory that Evan and I have come up with, but we can save that for later in the podcast.
I think Billy has not filled into the Danny role per se, but every league needs a villain. I think Billy has tried to fill that role for better or worse over the past few seasons. More so in the direction of Jack. They've always had a bit of a rivalry in fantasy and outside of fantasy as well. Just a funny relationship that Billy has with Jack and vice versa. But there's always been great shticks. And Evan, what are some of your favorites if you had to pick?
I mean, I think what Jake's been able to do with the themes, I guess, or shticks or whatever you want to call them, every year has been, it's almost like a game within the game. Like, what is Jake going to come up with next for this season? And I almost, you almost don't want to hype it up too much because I like being just kind of blown away by everything. I think there was one picture last year that, like, killed me. I think it was, like, the Mr. Nightmare, like, and he was reading a book, and, like, the teddy bear was in the background, like, saying, like, what's going on or something, and it was so funny. So I would say that's probably my favorite one. I think the thoughts on Tim Patrick, that was a fun little gag or a fun little storyline in the season that it occurred. Was that last year?
That was last year with Lou. That was a great, run.
I think that one was good because it was kind of like a good microcosm of just the trading culture in this league, where, you know, so many of these blockbuster trades are just started by an innocuous, you know, thoughts on this guy or what are you doing with this guy, and so many trades are also ended with, well, you're not using him, so just trade him to me, which I guess leans into the Billy the villain shtick, which I don't even know if that's a shtick. I think that's just Billy.
It could be.
I think that's just his personality, and I think it's good for the league. I think as long as nobody takes themselves or takes any, like, needling or banter too seriously, I think it's always healthy. And I think it adds a good layer to any competition.
It does.
Where, yeah, you just know you could say kind of almost whatever you want. I think in years past and with maybe some of our former league members, things would get a little bit personal or had a little bit of a sharper edge to them. But I would say that the league, as it has been for years now, is in a very good place in terms of rolling with the punches and nobody ever getting actually upset at anything. And I would say that's one of the reasons why this league has been so successful.
The league has not spilled over onto Twitter, which is probably a good barometer to move forward with.
Yes, yeah, I think that was a one time situation that was nipped in the bud, and I don't foresee that becoming an issue again. Although I will say, I think, I don't know. I guess, like how BMBL, I'm assuming everybody in the league knows about BMBL and how that has, like, the insider Twitter accounts. I don't know if that. I guess maybe that wouldn't really work in fantasy because we don't really have a Twitter presence. I mean, we have the Instagram, but
it's true.
That's not as. We're using that more as, like, a vehicle for, like, league news or that kind of thing, not necessarily content.
Right.
But although actually one of the things that I do like about the league, I don't know if it's a shtick, but and something that I think we as a league need to be better about holding each other accountable is the side bets. And I'm a victim and a perpetrator of this, where I still have a bet to be paid. In terms of Edward 40 hands. But I do think that there were a few bets last year or maybe the year prior that have gone unfulfilled, which is a little concerning. I know Morin had one. He was supposed to do something that I don't even think he considered doing. And then I think Jack had one that was also he never did. So
were they 40 hands, both of them?
I think somebody had 40 hands in there. I mean, I – last year I did one. I did do one that was a tall boy and Mike's Hard, like back to back. I think maybe once somebody else had to do that. I don't remember. We recorded an emergency podcast to address that, and I guess nobody listened because nobody did those bets. So
I'm pretty sure I remember you doing the one of the side bets at Liberty Towers.
Yes.
Which was hilarious.
Which, so does that mean that it wasn't last season? Was that two seasons ago then?
It's a good question. It might have been mid-season because we moved, or I moved late December, early January into the new place. So it very well could have been last year.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, it's on the Instagram as one of the, what is it called when you have the permanent story?
Oh, a highlight.
Yeah, it's as a highlight on the Instagram because I was watching it the other day. And it was definitely in Liberty Towers. But in terms of shticks, I don't know if there's any other really big ones that I could think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't – I'm trying to think to anything specific. I mean, Walsh is always hilarious, but it's more like random comments. And like almost like that's his shtick, just being kind of unpredictable in what he comments or says. And it's always hilarious.
Yeah, you know what shtick I like is Billy losing in finals. That's a good shtick that he has going now, is just never actually winning.
Is his window closing?
I would say maybe. I would say he was riding a hot streak for himself personally and professionally and in the league. So I don't know if one of them eventually has to come down to earth. I mean, I think for Billy, it's tough to kind of always be the bridesmaid, never the bride. There's a few of those in the league. Walsh has been in two finals and has yet to win. And I think they're the only people that have even been in multiple finals other than me.
Probably, I think that's accurate.
Because every other winner, I think, has gone to one final, won, and then never gone to another one. Because I beat B-Smith the first year. The second year, Mike beat Walsh. The next year, I beat Danny. The next year, Danny beat me. The next year, you beat Walsh.
Walsh, correct.
So that was his second. And then the next year, Chris beat Billy. And then Lou beat Billy. So that's two for Bill, two for Walsh, three for me. And then everybody else has won. And that means that there's a sizable amount of people that have never been to the championship.
It makes you think. And we've had great parity in the league as well. Something we talked about. Not a 10-win team last year in the league at all.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had one 11-game winner, and that was Danny. And then, wow. Moore in last year had the exact same points for and points against. Actually, he had a difference of one. 1563 and 1562. I just thought that was interesting. But looking at this, Lou has been to a championship. Billy has. Mike has. B-Smith has. Walsh has. Jake has not. That's a nightmare. Warren has not, which is interesting because I think Warren's had some strong years.
He has.
You have. Chris has. Jack has not, and EY has not. So what is that?
Four?
Four. That's pretty good. Although, like we said, this is the eighth season, so you would hope either have been 14 championship spots up for grabs at this point. So, and I don't think there's been anybody that's never made the playoffs. That would be really bad.
Yeah, that would be tough.
That would be horrific. But remember when we used to have the divisions or the conferences?
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think about that? I feel like they randomize at the start of the year, but then you're kind of locked into kind of just up to chance.
I would say like it kind of added an interesting layer where you were concerned about your division, and in real sports, in the NFL and MLB, it does play in. Like, I mean, 2006, the Cardinals won the World Series, and they won, what, like 83 games? Because they won, and they won their division, or they were the wild card team. So, like, divisions and wild cards and these kind of things, like, do play a part in real sports. But I guess for fantasy, just because it's, like, there's already enough luck that goes into it, where I feel like it makes more sense to just have the straight-up standings, and then you don't have to worry about the divisions. Because I think there was one year, maybe it was 2016, where there was one division that everybody, almost everybody had a winning record. And then the other division, almost nobody did. But EY had that best record, so he got a bye.
Mm.
And that might have been his only playoff appearance. And I think he ended up – I beat him in the third place game that year. So it was kind of – it's not really necessarily the best way to send people into the playoffs. I guess at that point only the bye was at stake, but I think the way we have it now is good.
Yeah.
The playoffs.
More of a round robin, play everyone. Leave it up to the scheduling.
Has the new schedule been set?
It has. So I just reset it once and it's live. The schedule is live. We can look at the week one matchups right now, actually.
Geez, looking at the week one matchups, at this point you're just going strictly based off grit. Like manager grit, because we haven't even drafted yet.
So we got Lou versus Evan.
That's me.
Chris versus Billy.
So that would be the proverbial Thursday night NFL champion versus former Super Bowl. Does the Super Bowl winner always play Thursday night, the first game?
Good question. I forget how they set it up. I feel like they do typically open it up.
So that KKC following in the NFL's footsteps.
How about that?
Not bad.
Morin versus EY.
Hmm.
Chris versus Billy is a compelling. That's a compelling opener right there.
Yeah, that is.
Chris has tried to lean into the villain role a little bit at times. Billy is filling the role, so that's sparks will fly. B Smith versus Mike. Me versus Jack. Wow. A house divided, and then Walsh versus Jake is a hilarious game too. Those are some good games.
Yeah, it is. It's almost like they were tailor made.
Mike versus B Smith, probably the Chaw Dog.
Yeah, Super Bowl. I was gonna say that's the. I mean, you versus Jack is crazy.
That'll be good. That'll be a good red zone experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're talking about, you know, looking at these matchups, you're just looking at the manager. I would say Chris and Billy is an interesting one, like what you just mentioned in terms of the villainization of the league. I would say for me, I don't know if I'm buying it from Chris right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, the changing of hats for him has been a lot. I think it was well received, the ghost of Danny. Need Momentum was interesting coming off of a championship year. He already needed momentum, but I think that goes to show the competitive spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And this year it's, you know, he's just basically reincarnating Danny, which is interesting.
Begs the question if he is soliciting information from a former league member off the books.
Wow. And that would be interesting. Imagine if Danny started like a Liv-esque fantasy football league. like Jack wakes up one day with like an offer for like a significant sum of money to take his talents to Liv.
Imagine if Danny bought Kelly's.
Oh my god. That'd be crazy. Like we hear like grand opening, like new Kelly's under new ownership, and we all go for like the first night and we walk in and just get immediately bounced.
Ugh, lifetime ban.
We walk in and he's just sitting on a throne.
It's dedicated to his new league.
That would actually be future podcast discussion, I think, would be who would be the power ranking, who would jump ship to a live-esque fantasy football league?
Yeah, what would make someone jump? Just bigger?
Bigger pot.
Bigger buy-in. I mean, Walsh.
Did we agree on a pot this year?
Yeah, I think we're running it back with
the 100.
The 100.
I wonder when we'll elevate that, because now everybody's out.
That's true.
I mean, Chris, we were waiting for, and
I mean, the subject could be broached in the chat to see if there's overwhelming interest to bump it up. I wouldn't be opposed.
I mean, what's $50? It's like,
it's true.
Just don't eat Chipotle for 5 weeks or something. Yeah. Like, it's not that big of a deal. But I understand everybody's finances are different. Always a touchy subject. But I don't know. Other than that, I don't even know what a Saudi-backed fantasy football league would offer that we're currently not. Maybe a more consistent podcast.
A more consistent podcast. Maybe a guaranteed payout or money back kind of system. I don't know. It's a great hypothetical.
Like the league is the one paying people out. Like, you're not.
Yeah, it's you get an appearance fee for just drafting.
Jeez, that'd be nice.
Unfortunately, the KKC office does not have that funding yet. Not yet.
Yeah, we're kind of the notion that, you know, this is a league steeped in pageantry and history, where some things you just can't put a price tag on.
Yep. Play for the love of the game. We hope our league members are playing for their legacy. The money is just a nice bonus in the league. Yeah, like this.
You're playing for the sticker on the front of your shirt, not for the name on the back.
That's right.
So that's something to always remember. And I hope we never have to have this conversation again.
I agree. Well, I think this is a good place to leave off before our draft this Wednesday. And I would be remiss to not wish our gamer, Chris, out in Indiana this week, good luck. We hope the podcast brings you joy. We hope the podcast brings joy to all the members as we enter the 8th season of this great league. Evan, any final thoughts?
No, I think you said it best. As always, I'm just looking forward to the league. To the festivities that the NFL season brings. I mean, I love the summer. It's always a fun time. But there really is nothing like the start of the football season. And I'm just happy that I get to share it with all my best friends.
The boys are back in town. Thank you. Driving all the old men crazy.